Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host, Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino, and joining us as always is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And folks, we hope you had an excellent holiday, and we appreciate you letting us take some time off as well to recharge as we turn the corner into the home stretch of 2023, which is just absolutely wild to think about. But we'll have a ton of content for you in the month of December, starting off with Late to the Party for a very, very anticipated episode for, I know, a lot of us. And, you know, this is a movie, Eric, that you had seen earlier in the year. I myself watched it for the first time today, and I am a little anxious to see how this goes because I am prepared to upset a lot of people with this episode today to kind of give you guys a little precursor of how my viewing experience went. And I guess I'll just have to live with the consequences from our listeners, viewers, and also just the random people that come across any type of clip on TikTok or Instagram, wherever it is, and let me know that I have awful, awful taste. So however it goes, Eric, I guess I am prepared and strapped in for the ride.
Yeah, and Phil is fresh on his viewing of Spirited Away, literally hours before we recorded this. Finally watched it for the first time. I watched this movie maybe about 6 months ago for the first time, so it's still fairly fresh for me. And we've been talking about this movie being on this series for a long time. I mean, obviously we had to get the heavy hitters like Paddington out of the way, but once we did that, what's the next most iconic figure? And it's some of the characters here in this film. It's an iconic movie. It's going to be polarizing because I don't necessarily disagree with what you probably think. But I will also say that I have seen the movie more than once, and I think that's a huge, huge impact to not only the viewing experience the second time around, but the experience of enjoyment of what you're seeing and the appreciation. We're going to get into it. That's what Late to the Party is all about. So obviously, we're going to be going into spoilers. If you haven't seen Spirited Away, this is your warning. But Phil, why don't we get into it? What did you think of Spirited Away? Maybe give us a synopsis before we kind of jump into it.
Yeah, Spirited Away, of course, for those of you, if you're not familiar, is one of these highly heralded Studio Ghibli films, right? In this animated feature by famous Japanese director Miyazaki, 10-year-old Chihiro and her parents stumble upon a seemingly abandoned amusement park after her mother and father are turned into giant pigs. Chihiro meets the mysterious Haku, who explains that the park is a resort for supernatural beings who need a break from their time spent in the earthly realm, and that she must work there to free herself and her parents. And this is, as I don't think I mentioned it this time around, this is my first Studio Ghibli film as we prepare to go see The Boy and the Heron or later on this week. A little bit of a preview for you guys. That will be next week's international feature episode. Super excited for that. But this is regarded, Eric, as one of the best, not just animated films of all time, but one of the best films of all time. And that's why I am going to be extremely respectful when it comes to this conversation, because I know this holds this film is held in very high regard and is very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts for various reasons. And I can see why, in certain elements, while watching this film, why that is. And again, this came out in 2001. And it won an Oscar in 2003. I am a little curious about that gap. I didn't go back and look like why there was a 2-year gap in between it winning. Maybe it's because that when it came to the West, that's probably why it won it in 2003. That's what I would assume. So animation, stunning, a really, really beautiful characters, beautiful locales, beautiful environments. Loved all of that. There's obviously a whole bunch of symbolism going on in this film as well. And those are the things that definitely stand out for me, but I would be hard pressed to give you character beats or character moments that resonated with me because I was just so caught up and how incredibly strange this film is. And I think that is a Studio Ghibli Miyazaki thing. And that does make me a little concerned for our viewing of The Boy and the Heron. But as you mentioned, I am glad that I watched this first to kind of get prepared for maybe what our viewing experience is going to be. But and it's actually kind of funny that I'm talking about it being weird, because I am wearing, shout out to Urban Weirdo, my Shit Just Got Weird t-shirt. That's a perfect example for how I felt watching this movie. Because again, it was just, it's just very strange, and I could not get into it the way that I wanted to. And that did disappoint me.
That's understandable. I mean, this movie is a journey, and there's a lot going on. Phil, I usually criticize films a lot for being all over the place, but this movie really, I don't know, this is one of the first movies I've seen, especially upon a rewatch, where I just kind of got immersed in the world, and shit just happening was kind of okay for me. And that's not a normal viewing experience for me. I usually need to have it make sense and I need to fully understand it. But I don't know, I didn't feel that way with this film. Maybe that's because not only is the animation spectacular, I know there have been some remasters to it, but it holds up very strongly. The score is also amazing. And while I also didn't really relate with a lot of characters, and the story is a little hit or miss, it is confusing at some points, it's really more focused on its themes more than its story. And again, I normally don't like movies like that, but I found myself not liking this movie, just like you, Phil, not really understanding the hype and enjoying it the first time. My son loves the movie, and when he put it on the second time, I thought I was going to walk away. I sat down and I watched the whole thing, and I gained a new appreciation for it. So I think that's where we're going to definitely differ. To go back to your point about the 2003 Oscars, this movie actually didn't release in the US until September of 2002. So there was a gap, and Disney was involved in the English dub of this film, funny enough. So interesting to kind of go back there and look at this. This movie, though, film, very polarizing, obviously. A lot of people love it. I definitely think it's one of the best animated films I've seen, as far as the way it looks and the way it sounds. But I do agree, like, the characters are a little lacking. The movie is a little weird. And the plot, kind of all over the place when it comes to understanding the world. But there's so many things, Phil, that you kind of mentioned. Like, there's a lot of symbolism, environmentalism, there's supernatural. Talks about capitalism, I believe, in some senses. So there's a lot going on. Is there anything that you could take positively away from the film outside of, you know, all those overwhelming beats of the film?
Well, for a couple of things. First, you said, you know, your son loves this movie. He also likes Wish. So I would just like to point that out, that he got very upset.
He did give Wish a 5 out of 5, which I disagree with, but I disagree with Star being a good song more. So I trust his judgment over yours.
I'm a star. I'm a star, just to make sure that that's correct. But you also say that, like, it's more focused on its messages than its characters. But, like, we have so many examples of animated films specifically doing both well. So, like, I don't really get that, because I know a lot of people say that, but as far as symbolism, like you said, you know, there's corporate greed being accepted in society as far as, like, no face. And then, you know, that's kind of what's going on there. Definitely a whole lot of themes. But, you know, you asked as far as some of the positives, I think I mentioned those at the top of it. Like I said, it's beautifully animated, and I can certainly see why this resonates with a lot of people. But it's just so sporadic and so random and so unfocused on any type of character development, on any type, or like trying to like generate these emotional beats, that I just did not resonate with. And I know a lot of people do, but for me, because the story was so all over the place, I found myself just essentially trying to run out the clock with this thing. Again, it's 2 hours long, and it's 2 hours of, again, randomness and just weird stuff happening. And again, I get all of those weird moments are layered and caked in symbolism. But when I don't care about what's going on, I don't really care about the symbolism. You know, I watched a couple YouTube videos in preparation for this, just trying to get a better understanding and appreciation for what's going on here. And I certainly did. And again, one thing that comes across when in watching all that content, as far as when it comes to this movie, is there's an incredibly passionate fan base for this film. And that's why I'm just trying to tread extremely lightly here, because again, I don't want to be absolutely annihilated for what is already going to be an unpopular opinion. I actually did just kind of Google Spirited Away overrated just to see like what came up. And there is a unpopular opinion subreddit, and it's specifically for unpopular opinions. And Eric, I don't know that I have seen an unpopular opinion upvoted this much on this subreddit. It's 12,000 upvotes, meaning people agree with it being an unpopular opinion. The whole point is to post an opinion that is incredibly unpopular and just full of people that were like, this may be the most unpopular opinion I've ever seen in the sub. Good job. Oh, goodness. You have encapsulated the essence of the sub, because I think that's a distinctly unpopular opinion. Yay, an unpopular opinion. Murder him. That's how I feel right now. If I were to put this in some sort of forum like Reddit, that is how people would feel towards me. So again, I hope that this isn't how I feel after seeing The Boy and the Heron. I don't think it is how I will feel, but this one just was not for me, and I really, really wanted it to be. I'm still very much open to watching the rest of them, because I know people have different tiers, different rankings for all of these. But Spirited Away was the one that I was like, oh, this is the one that I hear about the most, and I'm going to start here. And I'm disappointed in myself for not liking as much as I was, as I am disappointed in the movie as well.
No, I mean, it's completely fair. Again, when I walked away from the film the first time, I did not think I was going to watch this movie again, and I definitely didn't think I was going to like it. I don't know. It does have a charm to it. And Studio Ghibli is very much like that. I am so worried for you, for The Boy and the Heron. You were talking literally the other day about how excited you were, and I was like, well, why don't you watch Spirited Away first, you know, and then tell me how you feel. So
this is your fault also, because the first animated anime film that you've had me watch was Your Name. So I just want you to let you know that you have set this bar to an unreachable level ever since then. So
you don't think that that's what I go through? I compare every film that I've ever watched.
RRR or Your Name?
Or Your Name. It's, again, it's literally those two movies and Into the Spider-Verse. Like, my top three is pretty set in stone. It's those three films and then everything else. Like, there's a huge drop-off. Although somehow Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, I think is coming into its own.
Man, should just watch that.
I think I love that movie more than I should, as far as top tier movies all time. But, you know, Phil, The Boy and the Heron right now, as it stands, I'll be the Rotten Tomatoes guy today. 97% tomato meter off of 109 reviews so far, obviously is yet to release in the States. 82% audience score, which is interesting. A little bit of a drop off there compared to Spirited Away. 221 reviews on the tomato meter, 96, and then a 96% audience score. And obviously, The Boy and the Heron has like less than 50 audience scores ratings. The Spirited Away is over a quarter of a million. So,
is this the most popular one?
I would say yes. I would say by a large margin, to be completely honest. Even looking at his filmography, Miyazaki, this is, I believe, on IMDb, his highest rated film that he has directed. And mind you, there's a lot of other ones you probably heard about. Kiki's Delivery Service, My Neighbor Totoro.
Howl's
Moving Castle is a big one. I have a feeling you wouldn't like that if you didn't like this one. But I also don't like that one. So I don't know. Ponyo, a lot of films. This is the highest rated one. And like you mentioned, it's the one that people talk about the most. So I'm just really curious how you're going to not only go into The Boy and the Heron, but how you're going to walk out. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we will see, especially since we're going with a huge Studio Ghibli fan in our friend Joyanne. So we will see how she reacts to it, because I'm not sure which one of these films is her favorite, but I do know she has like the sprites or whatever they're called on her phone. So, like on her phone case. So
Joyanne has a lot of art dedicated to Spirited Away,
right,
which is a great plug to Joy-Ann, whose
yes.
info will be in the show notes. We do have a code through her if you want to go to her site and you want to get some amazing merch. This is just a quick plug for Joy-Ann Draws. Her website, Joy-Ann MG, I believe. You'll see that in the show notes. Feel free to click on it, check it out, use our code. But yeah, she's a huge fan, I believe, of Spirited Away just from her artwork alone. In fact, I think that's like the main Studio Ghibli one that she does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think she's going to be happy with you after this episode.
No, probably not. It'll probably be the end of that sponsorship. But anyway, it's, yeah, like I said, I absolutely would. And I saw some of the people that also rated this lower on like IMDb, Letterboxd, stuff like that. They had similar things that, as I'm saying, like they have heard so much about it and went into it absolutely wanting to love it. And I just didn't. It's just, so I watch a lot of weird stuff. And if I'm not invested in the characters or the story or whatsoever, then the weird becomes louder, right? Like all of that randomness is elevated and highlighted. And when I, again, because I didn't care about what else was going on, that's really all I could focus on. So sorry. I apologize. If this is one of your favorite films, that is great. Again, it's just not for me. I will just go watch Your Name or Puss in Boots: The Last Wish and be on my way. And we can just part ways here. That's fine. I'm sorry.
Well, no, don't part ways. I didn't. Why?
Goodbye,
what did you say,
Eric.
Fuck me, what did you say fuck me for?
Goodbye.
I didn't do anything. No, it's you know, it's just super interesting to hear your take on it. It kind of justifies how I felt walking out of the movie for the first time and seeing it.
Did you see it in theaters?
No, I did not actually.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I saw it at home. I would love to see this movie in theaters. I think
we had a chance. We missed it.
So. Yeah, I think it would be a great experience on the big screen. Is there no chance that you'll ever watch this again?
No, I'm not. I did think about maybe watching it again in dub, but
you watched it in sub.
No. I'm sorry. Sub. I watched it. I'm sorry. Thinking about going back and watching it in sub, but I don't think so. Have you letterboxed this thing?
I have.
Okay.
What did I letterbox it? It's actually a great question. I will tell you this. I am still working on several lists. I would like to really commit to Letterboxd because I've kept up with 2023 very, very proactively. You know this for our end of year awards. We have the MCU movies ranked that we worked on our way to Ocala.
We do have a animated film lists on there as well. I think
we
each made one.
Mine's still a little interchangeable. I do have Spirited Away here at a 4.5. And a big gap. I'm just enchanted by this film. I just really am. I really, really am. I don't think you should have to see a movie twice to enjoy it. I don't think that you should have to understand all the symbolism and all the themes of a movie in order to enjoy it. And you talk about this all the time. I don't think you should have to go pull up YouTube Movie Explained and search that and watch a video explaining the movie to you. I don't know, but for this one, maybe. Like, that's like my exception. And I get it. I understand it. If you walk away saying you don't like this film, I'm not going to be the snob that's like, how dare you? I get it. I was there. But I gained an appreciation for it. And I will say, it's out of 4.5. It might be more of a 4.25. And is that enough for it to really get me into the top 10 animated films of all time? It's here on my list. I'm not going to tell you where. But is it going to stay there? I don't know. I really got to work on this list a little bit more. But it has a conversation. And if it's your favorite animated film of all time, if you're listening, I totally get it. And if it's not, I get that too.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. But, you know, I...
You say you don't want enemies
and
you don't
want
to fight, but then you do stuff like that. I don't get it.
I know. Sometimes you just got to go for the troll. But no, like I said, if you find this as, and I know this is a lot of people's comfort film as well, and I can see why, again, at certain points, but not for me. I gave it a 2.5 because, again, I just didn't enjoy it. So
two
how can I?
It's so disrespectful.
If I didn't enjoy it, how am I going to give it a three? If I'm going to recommend this, like I'm not going to. I wouldn't show this to my daughter. I don't think she would like it either. So I mean, she could maybe watch it with her aunt, but I don't think she would enjoy it. She's also in love with Your Name, so just like you, just like me, you set her up for failure.
That's fair. I understand. I get it. I get it. Yeah, no.
If I'm giving Your Name a 5, there's no way that I can understand that this is a 4.5.
No, and again, I said 4.5. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's probably a 4. It's probably like realistically a 4. Like I might have to change that. But like that shouldn't take away from how much I do like the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, do I love the film? Like, no. No, I don't love it. I don't love it. It's not one of the best films I've ever seen, but just technically, it's a marvel. And I think just that alone, feel like that to me, the things that I care about, everybody's Letterboxd score and everybody's scores in general are different. But for me, the score and the animation alone, absolutely a 3, which to me is I would recommend it for someone to watch and formulate their own opinion. Where 2.5, we're getting closer to Shining territory. That's the disrespect. No way.
No, I couldn't do that. But I will say this as we close this out. There are absolutely like certain set pieces in this that I would frame. Like I'm not going to do that, but like I could see putting this up in a decorative setting and being like, you know, this is stunning. This is beautiful. So I get that for sure.
Yeah, you understand like why this movie is iconic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just not for me.
Other than The Shining, we have understood that for most of these movies. That
The Shining does have really good cinematography. It's just what they're filming is not good.
It's not very good. Yeah, no.
Sorry, Stanley Kubrick.
It's a little disrespectful because if I recall Shin Godzilla, I believe you also gave that a 2.5. And I feel like this movie is a 3. I feel like I can convince you over time to change it to a 3 because I think you're thinking so passionately, like fresh on your mind, how much you didn't like the movie. But I think the imagery will stick with you. And I think you will get it to a 3 eventually, even without watching it.
What if the imagery got it to a 2.5?
Well, I mean, listen, this movie was not as bad as Shin Godzilla. And it was not as bad as anywhere. It should not be in the realm.
They put at least Godzilla's in that movie.
They also put 55 conference rooms, okay?
That's true. That's true. But it does have our favorite U.S. ambassador or whatever she was.
Honestly, I forgot everything about that film the moment we saw -1. So
thank goodness.
Yeah. But yeah, this was our episode, guys. Like, honestly, we just wanted a chance. We have not talked about it, which we probably should have said at the beginning. But if you've been riding with us for a while, you know, we usually stick most of the conversation into this episode for the first time. Phil did text me, though, and gave me a pretty early indication that he was not enjoying it. So I did.
I just couldn't keep it to myself because I can't remember what happened in the movie. And I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
And again, totally get it. I'd be so curious if you got to this point in the episode, whether you reach out to us. Phil's about to give you all that info, but whether you reach out to us on social media, you leave a comment, if you're watching on YouTube or you saw a clip on TikTok, you know, whatever, and you came here, we'd love to hear from you. But Phil, let's wrap this up, you know, late to the party. And then next up is international feature, and it's The Boy and the Heron, which we are seeing in theaters when it releases and will be out next Wednesday, which is super exciting. So, Phil, if you want to take us out for any new listeners where they can find more episodes and reach out to us.
Yeah, thanks so much for checking out the podcast, whether it's your first time or if you've been here for a while. You can find everything you need in the show notes of this episode, the Linktree link. I will have a catalog to all the rest of our content, as well as our social media pages. Instagram and TikTok are going to be your best bets. We talked a lot about Godzilla Minus One in this episode as well. If you want to see Eric and I's reviews right out of the theater, that is where you can find those over on TikTok. And if you find yourself wanting to support the podcast, you can do that a couple of ways. One of the best ways, share the content, like share it on your social media stories, tag us, let us know that you're listening, and also let other people know that they can listen and where they can listen. That is always a really, really great way to support. And leave those 5-star reviews. Apple Podcasts, Spotify definitely drive us up the podcast charts and helps us out a ton. But if you want to support the show maybe just a little bit extra, Eric will let you know how you can do that.
So in addition to all of those free options, if you do want to support us a little bit extra, you can go straight to our Buzzsprout page, which is in that link in the show notes, and you can give us a little bit of support there directly. Or if you'd like to turn that into something that you get a little bit extra of, you could go over to Patreon, where patrons like Stefan and Briar are helping support the podcast, and they're getting exclusive behind the scenes access, kind of a before and after credit of episodes like this. Also, early access in addition to many, many more perks. We're really hoping to build that platform in 2024 and even expand the perks even further. So we truly would appreciate the support. But like Phil mentioned, a like, a comment, a share, those things go so far. And we truly appreciate you, even if this is the last episode you're listening to because of Phil's terrible take. With that,
with that being said,
my name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino. And please don't forget, we release new episodes on the podcast every Wednesday with bonus content on platforms like TikTok. And all you got to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.